been in this situation before. A lot of guys in your locker room have not. How do you help them understand the balance between the Super Bowl excitement and then the flip side of that being preparing for the game itself?
I think the environment that we have going on just right now really kind of forces you to be on the football side, I think. You know, we win Sunday, you know, Monday, Tuesday, even a little bit of Wednesday is kind of like, oh, you know, the excitement, we're going to the Super Bowl and you're not really thinking about anything else. And I think, you know, over the last really 24 hours, going back to yesterday, coming and having a good practice, then today, you know, really, really getting on it. I think, guys, you start to feel like, oh, we're just preparing for another game. And I think that's a key feeling to have that mentality of just preparing and digging in and getting ready to play in another game. Obviously, it's the biggest game of the year. It's the game we all want to be playing in, you know, all 32 teams. So, but I think you need to be able to do what you've done all year as far as preparation, breaking down a team, you know, knowing what they do. And I think we're at that point where guys are feeling that and, you know, and your family or whoever you have dealing with all the logistics part, you know, you try to put that on them and deal with it that way.
What about once they get to Houston, as far as like being able to sort of just channel into the game as opposed to the spectacle that the Super Bowl is?
I think once you get there, you know, we'll start with the media day, and I think you'll get to enjoy that. You'll do what you need to do there, and then I think we do a good job here of flipping the page and then getting right back onto our daily routine. And you know, while we're on the road in Houston, we try to make everything very similar to what we do here. And I think that's the key to any player. You develop a routine. You know, you've played all these games this year, you know, 18 games. You have a routine now. You have what you do on your Wednesday. You have what you do on Thursday. And, you know, once we get down there, you know, media day Monday, you know, Tuesday, then by the time we get to Wednesday, it's just your regular game routine. You know, it's your week. So, you know, I don't know. We don't know the schedule yet, but I'm pretty sure the schedule will be very similar to what we do. And, you know, I think the key to the older guys is once we finish, you know, as a team, is to get guys doing the things that you usually do, whether that's going to watch film for another 2 hours, you doing that, and, you know, then you spending some time with your family.
Devin, there have been six times where the top offense and top defense have met in the Super Bowl, and the defense has won five of them. Do you think defense still wins championships in the NFL?
Yeah, but I think every year, you know, is different. I think that's a cool statistic for the fans, and, you know, you can write pretty good stories on it, I'm sure, but that probably won't help us much next Sunday. So, you know, I think it's an interesting stat, but I think you got to go out there and, you know, if we want to play well and prove that, it'll come down to us. You know, it'll come down to us executing and trying to slow down their great offense.
There's been a lot of offense rules that have changed that have made it easier for the offense or harder for the defense to cover. And do you think, I mean, has the challenge gotten more difficult for you top defense?
Oh, definitely. I mean, touchdown sells. So, I mean, it's a part of playing defense, but it's something we all enjoy.
Devin, it was 17 years ago today that on a podium like that one, Bob Kraft came out, introduced Bill Belichick to New England, and he was been coach ever since, and you know the rest. Can you comment on the greatness of Belichick, and has he made you a better player and a better teammate?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing for us as players, we get to really see his insight on how he views the game. You know, especially defensively, when I came in, you know, he was very active with us defensively, so I've learned a ton just from the little things he sees. You know, I've been in games where he at corner where he's talking about the way the wind's blowing and how it'll carry and, you know, how it'll affect if you get a fade to that side rather than a fade to the other. So those little things that I don't think everyone, you know, will break down a game and, you know, try to view all those things. He really tries to break the game down to every inch that'll help you win. And I think he's really done a great job for me since I've been here just finding ways to win. And, you know, I find myself a lot of times looking at the game the same way, you know. Well, if we do this, if I do that, you know, they'll make this better and it'll help this guy. So, you know, I think just his insight and the way he views the game, you know, helps us out as players, because if you're here long enough, you get to pick up on those things and, you know, you kind of turn in that direction.
Yeah, but the last time you guys were in the Super Bowl, Malcolm Butler made that memorable play at the end of the game. How have you seen him change as a player since then, especially when he's matched up against the other guys, number one, as he was against Antonio Brown a lot in the championship game?
I think the cool thing is I really haven't seen him change. You know, he's been a guy back then when he was a lot lower on the depth chart, but every time he stepped on the field, very competitive. You know, I think you go back to that game, a lot of people talk about that one play, but you go back to that season, he had times where he came in and he was on Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffery, we played Chicago, Emmanuel Sanders, we played Denver. So he's never been a guy that worries about who he's matched up on. He has one level, he has one speed he plays at. He's a competitor, and I think it has a lot to do with how he's come into the league, how he's, you know, being at West Alabama, he's always had to fight and grind, and that's never changed for him. So very confident player, goes in and plays hard.
How much is the question, Devin, in terms of recognizing run versus pass in this Atlanta offense? It's obviously going to be critical in that game, given the fact that their running game is just as explosive as their passing game.
Guys that are up front that, you know, the defense dictates different roles for us and our assignments. If you got to play the run, you play the run. If you got to play the pass, you play the pass, you know. I remember Vince telling me that back in, I think, 2011. He came and told the whole secondary. He said, we got the run. If you're supposed to be deep, stay deep. He said it a little different choice of words, but, you know, that stuck with me. You know, is the key to any big game is a guy that's supposed to be playing the deep middle part of the field, not making a tackle in a run game for 2 yards. You know, if you do that, you're wrong. You know, I don't care really how it's drawn up, you're wrong. And I think that's always a key. And to play offense like this that's so balanced, guys have to just do their job. You have to play your assignment, whatever that is, and whatever defense it is, you got to just play your assignment.
Devin, communication is so key in football, coaches to the players and players among players. Dante wears the green dot. Is he the only one communicating to the other 10 guys what the defense is, or do you and other players kind of take a role in that too?
Yeah, no, we're all in that, especially as the game gets going. You know, we got corners chasing good receivers all around the field. You know, sometimes they don't make it all the way back into the huddle, so sometimes I'm deep and Chung's there, and Chung turns and gives me the call, and I get it out to the other guys. So it's always a chain of communication. You know, there's times where High's not in it, and maybe it's Shea, maybe it's Van Oy, maybe it's E-Rob. They're making the call. So we get a lot of work at that in practice with different guys being in and having to communicate. So, you know, it's always that chain of passing along. You know, safeties, we're always responsible for everybody getting in the back end. And we try to do that to take some of the pressure off High, you know, taking care of all the guys, whether it's 4 or 5 of us in the secondary at a time, and let High worry about the guys in front of him.
Verbal, a lot of hand signals? How do you guys communicate?
Oh, it's always both. You know, these last 2 games at home, it had to be hand signals. The crowd was rocking. It was loud. So that forced us into our hand signals. But we get work on that all the way back in OTAs when Bill has the speakers blasting, you know, and it's right behind us. So we really can't talk. And I think that work from all the way back in May and June, hand signals and communicating, you always see it show up at different parts of the season.
If you talk about Matt Ryan, it feels like he's taken his game to another level this season. Do you agree with that? And if so, what have you seen on film?
We haven't played him a lot. So to me, I've always thought he was a great quarterback. And when we played him last time, he had a pretty good game against us. So I've always had that viewpoint. I think this year he's gotten a lot more attention for it, probably because they're in the Super Bowl. But he's been a great quarterback. And I think for us is he's one of those very cerebral guys too, you know, reading coverages, knowing what you're in. So it's hard to trick him. You know, it's like when we're in training camp, we're talking about practicing against Tom. You know, it's hard to draw up some defense that's going to fool him and he's going to have no idea. He knows pretty much everything. You know, I'm sure with the extended time they have, he's seen every defense we've run this season. He'll be well prepared. He's a guy, he knows where he wants to put the ball, and he has some great weapons. So it's going to be a tough task. You know, he really knows what he's doing offensively and where he wants to go with the ball. So, you know, that's why you go out there and you average 40 points in the playoffs, because your quarterback's on it and knows exactly what he wants to do for the offense.
Hey, Devin, I know Malcolm Butler, his story and whatnot, but Rob Ninkovich, guy who was cut twice by multiple teams, people thought he'd be a long snapper with his best way into the league, and here it is 11 years later, and he's been here for quite a while. It just kind of stands out to you about him.
Rob's a leader. You know, for me, it was different. When I got here, he was already here. So, I mean, I didn't really know his backdrop or anything. I just know he was a guy that was asked to be in a lot of different roles, and he always seemed to play pretty well. So I've always viewed him as a good player for us. He's always made a ton of plays since I've been here. So for me, I really don't see, you know, the cut by two different teams, even though he talks about it. And he'll tell you that's been a big motivation for him. But he's definitely one of the hardest workers we got here. You know, I've leaned on him a lot to teach me and show me different things. And, you know, I'm just happy. It's a great relationship I have with him. And he continues to be a leader of the defense and of the team. So I think he's a guy that the younger guys get to look at and see. It doesn't matter where you start. You know, he's been a captain here. And he'll continue to make great plays for us.
Having gone through this before, how much do you, you know, fall back on familiarity and preparing for what the stage is? And really through the years, how much or maybe in what way has the preparation really changed for this game for you?
I think I've learned how to prepare for the game. You know, it's a little different as far as, like, you know, some kind of like a bye week, but it's the only game left. It's a Super Bowl. So I think I've learned how to prepare better for myself. I think each player, you have to kind of find what works for you. And I think it's allowed me to be a lot more relaxed and calm and knowing exactly what I want to do and how I want to talk to the guys of what I'm thinking and doing different things like that. But I think the playing in the game before just lets you kind of be at ease. You know, you're not really as worried about the logistics part. You know, all of it will be taken care of. It'll all be done, and you just calm. And, you know, now it's just focused on playing the game. It's focused on you being ready, you making sure everybody else around you is ready. And, you know, it's just the continued process of preparing. And I think no team, you know, really does it better than here as far as just always being ready to go, being prepared and doing a step-by-step process of that. And it's hard, you know, but I think it starts with Bill and him being on us and showing us the way.
What makes Julio Jones the wide receiver he is?
You go down a long list. I mean, big guy, 6'3", 220, 4'3", great hands, explosive in and out of cuts. We were just watching film on a double move he ran against Green Bay, and he didn't come down with it, but just out of the double move, you know, and two more steps, he's 10 more yards down the field, it feels like. So, you know, usually big guys like that don't accelerate that fast. It usually takes time for them to get going, but he's very explosive, tough to tackle. I think a lot of times you hear Julio Jones, you think of the deep routes, the posts, the nines, but you don't think about the 5-yard routes he catches on unders and breaks two tackles and scores a 60, 70-yard touchdown. So, really, Matt Ryan's able to get him the ball in so many different areas that makes it tough. You can't just sit there as a defense and say, you know, he's going to be here at the X. This is what, you know, he's going to be all over. He's going to be at the Z. Sometimes he's going to be inside of the slot. So, tough. You know, I think that probably gives a lot of credit to him learning the playbook and him being able to do a lot of different things. Very, very versatile receiver for them. So, like I said before, we'll have another tough task this week. But, you know, you get in the playoffs, it doesn't get easy with these receivers. And we'll have to really have all 11 guys ready to stop him. And the biggest thing will be if he does catch the ball is trying to tackle him.
Yeah, I mean, in the Super Bowls that you've played in, was there ever a point during the game where you get into the flow of the game and almost forgot that it was the Super Bowl and it hit you that, geez, this is the Super Bowl? Does that happen or is that ridiculous?
No, I mean, once you get playing, it's just football. You know, you're so locked in on what you've studied during the week and your preparation, what's going on in the game, that the Super Bowl is the last thing I remember. Honestly, you're just trying to win a football game.
Talked to, I know earlier about you not wanting to make a tackle 2 yards off the line, but those running backs seem to be tackled a lot by defensive backs because they're getting a lot further than 2 yards down. Have you kind of seen from those two guys, the lead backs?
They're tough. You know, it's hard in this league when you let these guys, if they get in the open field and, you know, you got to have one or two guys just try to bring them down on a one-on-one situation, it's tough. You know, Freeman's very elusive, so is Coleman. You know, they're guys that not even just breaking runs. It's when they split out and they run a route that a receiver runs and then catches a ball. Now you got to try to tackle them. So they're both very elusive and tough in space. So it's going to be tough. Like I said, I'm not going to be probably, if I'm in the deep middle, I'm not going to be 2 yards. But even trying to get them at 10 yards is going to be tough. But it's something that we talk about a lot in the secondary of trying to be a good secondary tackling team of, you know, trying to get all 4 or 5 of us that's on the field if a run breaks through, getting as many guys to the runner and trying to get them down.
Devin, can you talk about the positive leadership that Tom brings to the team? He's often asked some questions that are of a negative nature, always seems to take the high road. How does that positivity kind of work its way through the rest of the team?
I would just say how he is in the locker room. Honestly, most of us probably don't even see his interviews and things like that. But, you know, in the locker room, he's always a positive guy. He's always trying to get guys going. You know, you don't really see Tom come in and have a bad day. You know, he's always ready to go, preparing. I think that professionalism rubs off on everybody else around him. You know, it's easy, you know, all the things he has to go through and the things he has to do to be, you know, the starting quarterback, to be Tom Brady. It would be easy to be frustrated at times, but he's always ready to go. And I think everybody in the locker room, no matter if you play offense, defense, if you're a core special team guy, you know, you can see how to be a great player, how to be ready for work every day if you just watch him.
Your final question?
Devin, you guys as a secondary have been playing really well together for quite some time now. You don't always get the attention or the recognition that maybe, you know, Seattle's group did or still does. Do you guys kind of prefer it that way, or would you kind of like maybe a little credit on a wider scale?
No, I don't think we care. I mean, you said we're playing well. Usually people say we're not playing well. So, I mean, we don't really care. We go out there, and the way we look at it, we must be doing okay. We won some games. We're playing in the Super Bowl. So whether we get credit, whether we don't get credit, I think the biggest thing for us is we enjoy playing with each other. We've enjoyed each game that we've gotten to play together. That's all we talked about in the playoffs, is earning another opportunity to play another game. And you know, now we're here at the end of the road, and we're just focused on trying to go out there and play well one last time this year.
You guys have a nickname, secondary?
No, we just play football, man.